How can you be Justice of Torin? Not, what do you mean, don't let the Lord of the Roch aboard, I noticed. I came with Captain Savardin, I said. The Anandermeani who'd come forward clipped herself to one handhold, then another, and pulled a gun from the tool holder on her suit. What is the pod doing? The sail pod was still too close to me. The pilot is offering help to the people on your hull. She's only just realized it's the Lord of the Roch, who's told her to back off. The sail pod would do the Lord of the Roch very little good. It was built for only very short trips. More a toy than anything else. It would never make it as far as Mercy of Collar. Not in one piece, and not with its passengers alive and breathing. Are there any other Ananders outside the station? There don't appear to be. The Anandermeani with a gun, extended armor in a flash of silver that covered her vacuum suit, held the gun against the shuttle's hull and fired. I've heard it said that guns won't fire in a vacuum, but really it depends on the gun. This one fired. The impact, a bang, that I could feel where I clung to the pilot's seat. The force of the shot pushed her back, but not far. Securely clipped as she was to the hull. She fired again, bang, and again and again. Some shuttles were armored. Some even had a larger version of my own armor. This shuttle wasn't, didn't. This shuttle's hull was built to withstand a fair number of random impacts, but it wasn't built to endure continued stress on the same spot over and over again. Bang! She had thought through her inability to open the airlock, realized that whoever was piloting this shuttle was her enemy, realized that I had removed the inner door and that the outer wouldn't open until the air was out of the entire shuttle. If Anandermeni could get in, she could patch the bullet hole and repressurize the shuttle. Even after a hull breach, the shuttle, unlike the sail pod, would have enough air to take her all the way to Mercy of Collar. If she had tried to order the palace's destruction from where she hung on to the side of this shuttle, she had failed. More likely, I realized, she'd known from the beginning such an order would fail and hadn't tried to give it. She needed to get aboard a ship, order it closer to the palace, and breach its heat shield herself. She wouldn't be able to get anyone else to do it for her. If Mercy of Collar was correct, and there were no other Ananders outside the station, all I had to do was get rid of these. The rest, whatever was happening on the station, I would have to leave to Skyot and Savardin, and Anandermeni. I remember the last time we met, said Mercy of Collar. It was at Preed Nadeni. A trap. We never met. Bang! The sail pod moved away, but not far. Until now. And I was never at Preed Nadeni. But what did it prove? That I knew that. Verifying my identity might have been easy if I hadn't disabled or hidden so many of my implants. I thought for a moment, considering. And then I spoke a string of words, the closest I could get with my single human mouth, to the way I would have identified myself to another ship so long ago. Silence, punctuated by another shot against the shuttle hull. Are you really Justice of Torin? Asked Mercy of Collar at length. Where have you been, and where's the rest of you, and what's happening? Where I've been is a long story. The rest of me is gone. Anandermeni breached my heat shield. Bang! The forward Anander ejected the magazine from her gun, slowly and methodically, and inserted another. The other still huddled around the airlock. I assume you know what's going on with Anandermeni. Only partially, said Mercy of Collar. I find I'm having difficulty saying what I think is happening. No surprise at all to me. The Lord of the Roch visited you in secret and placed some new accesses, probably other things, orders, instructions, in secret, because she was hiding what she'd done from herself. Back at the palace, it seemed ages ago now, but it had only been a few hours, I told all of her straight out what was happening. That she was divided, moving against herself. She doesn't want that knowledge to go any further, and there's a part of her that wants to use you to destroy the station before the information can get out. She'd rather do that than face the results of that knowledge. Silence from Mercy of Collar. You're bound to obey her, but I know. My throat closed up, I swallowed. I know there's only so far you can be forced to go. But it would be extremely unfortunate for the residents of Amaw Palace if you discovered that point after having killed them all. Bang! Steady, patient, Anandermi and I only needed one very small hole and some time. And there was plenty of time. Which one destroyed you? Does it matter? I don't know, answered Mercy of Collar, from the console, voice calm. I've been unhappy with the situation for some time. Anandermi and I had said that Mercy of Collar was hers, but Captain Vell wasn't. That had to be uncomfortable for it. Could potentially be uncomfortable for me, and extremely unfortunate for the palace, if Mercy of Collar was sufficiently attached to its captain. The one that destroyed me was the one Captain Vell supports. Not, I think, the one that visited you. I'm not completely certain, though. How are we supposed to tell them apart when they're all the same person? Where is my captain? Said Mercy of Collar. It said something to me that the ship had waited this long to ask. She was fine when I left her. Your lieutenant, too. Bang! I did injure the shuttle pilot. She wouldn't leave her station. I hope she's all right. Mercy of Collar, whichever Lord of the Roch has your support, I beg you not to let any on board or obey her orders. The firing stopped. The Lord of the Roch was worried, perhaps, that her gun would overheat. Still, she had plenty of time. No need to rush. I see what the Lord of the Roch is doing to the shuttle, said Mercy of Collar. That in itself would be enough to tell me something is wrong. But of course, Mercy of Collar had more indications than just that. The communications blackout, which resembled what had happened on Shiserna 20 years ago, probably only reported in rumor, but still sobering, assuming rumors had reached this far, my, Justice of Torren's disappearance. Its own clandestine visit from the Lord of the Roch, its captain's political opinions. Silence. The four Anandermianis clinging motionless to the shuttle hull. You still had your ancillaries, said Mercy of Collar. Yes. I like my soldiers, but I miss having ancillaries. That reminded me. They aren't doing maintenance as they should. The hinges on the airlock door were very sticky. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter right now, I said, and it struck me that something similar might have delayed Anandermi and I's attempts to open the lock on her side. But you'll want to have your officers get after them. Anander began firing again. Bang! It's funny, Mercy of Collar said. You're what I've lost, and I'm what you've lost. I suppose. Bang! Occasionally, over the past 20 years, I had had moments when I didn't feel quite so utterly lonely, lost, and helpless as I had since the moment Justice of Torren had vaporized behind me. This wasn't one of those moments. I can't help you, said Mercy of Collar. No one I could send would get there in time. And besides, it was an open question to me whether in the end Mercy of Collar would help me or the Lord of the Roch. It was best not to let Anander inside this shuttle, near its steering or even its communications equipment. I know. If I didn't find some way to get rid of these Ananders, and find it soon, everyone on the palace station would die. I knew every millimeter of this shuttle, or others just like it. There had to be something I could use, something I could do. I still had the gun, but I would have just as difficult a time getting through the hull as the Lord of the Roch. I could put the door back on and let her come in the small, easily defensible airlock. But if I failed to kill all of her... But I would certainly fail if I did nothing. I took the gun out of my jacket pocket, made sure it was loaded, pushed over to face the airlock, and braced myself against a passenger seat. Extended my armor, though that wouldn't help me if a bullet bounced back at me, not with this gun. "What are you going to do?" asked Mercy of Collar. "Mercy of Collar," I said, gun raised, "it was good to meet you. Don't let Anandermi and I destroy the palace. Tell the other ships, and please tell that incredibly, stupidly persistent sail pod pilot to get the hell away from my airlock." The shuttle was not only too small for a gravity generator, it was too small for growing plants to make its own air. On the aft side of the airlock, behind a bulkhead, was a large tank of oxygen. Right underneath where the three Mianais waited. I considered angles. The Lord of the Roch fired again. Bang! An orange light on the console flashed, and a shrill alarm sounded. Hull breach. The fourth Lord of the Roch, seeing the jet of fine ice crystals stream from the hull, unclipped herself, turned, pulled herself back toward the airlock. I could see it on the display. She moved more slowly than I wanted, but she had all the time in the world. I was the one in a hurry. The sail pod engaged its small engine and moved out of the way. I fired the gun into the oxygen tank. I had thought it would take several shots, but immediately the world tumbled around, all sound cut off, a cloud of frozen vapor forming around me and then dispersing, and everything spinning. My tongue tingled, saliva boiling away in the vacuum, and I couldn't breathe. I would probably have 10, maybe 15, seconds of consciousness, and in 2 minutes, I would be dead. I hurt all over. A burn? Some other injury despite my armor? It didn't matter. I watched, as I spun, counting Lords of the Roch. 1, vacuum suit breached, blood boiling through the tear. Another, one arm sheared off, certainly dead. That was 2. And a half counts as a whole, I thought, and that made 3. 1 left. My vision was going red and black, but I could see she was still hanging on to the shuttle hull, still armored, out of the way of the exploded tank. But I had always been, first and foremost, a weapon, a machine meant for killing. The moment I saw that still living Anandermi and I aimed my gun without conscious thought and fired. I couldn't see the results of the shot, couldn't see anything except one silver flash of sail pod, and after that, black. And then I passed out. Chapter 23. Something rough and writhing surged up out of my throat, and I retched and gasped convulsively. Someone held me by the shoulders. Gravity pulled me forward. I opened my eyes, saw the surface of a medical bed, and a shallow container holding a bile-covered tangled mass of green and black tendrils that pulsed and quivered that led back to my mouth. Another wretch forced me to close my eyes, and the thing came all the way free, with an audible plop, into the container.